I want to see what somebody like that looks like. I don't see anybody. No, everybody faces adversity, don't they? Everybody's facing it. And you may be facing it now. I remember what my pastor used to say. He said, you're either in it, or you're coming out of it, or you're about to go in one. You say, I came to hear good news. Well, we're going to get to that. Amen. And Habakkuk 3, verse 17, we're going to pick it up there. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instruments. I mean, man, he was singing that out. Now, I want you to look at this situation just for a minute. Now, remember, this is a person who's living in an agrarian economy. And notice what he says in verse 17. He said, though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines, the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. That sounds like a pretty tough time, doesn't it? That sounds like he's going through a pretty tough, adverse time and situation here. And you know, the first thing I've found out that we have to understand when we face adversity is that not to think that there's something strange and weird and wrong with me. Amen? I've talked to Christians over the years, and the first thing usually that happens when something bad happens to somebody, either well-meaning Christians or sometimes our own selves, we think, well, where did I miss it? You know, what did I do wrong? I must have done something really bad. Or somebody wants to point the finger. They must have really done something bad. There must be something wrong with you. You know, like Job's comforters. But the first thing we need to understand is that there is nothing strange about the trials that we go through. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. This we have to settle. You know, I say it this way all the time. Bad things happen to good people. It's a fact. Amen? Bad things happen to good people. Just because something bad happens to you doesn't mean, oh, I must be a bad person. I've done something wrong. My faith's not strong enough. All of those kind of things. Listen what he says here in chapter 4, we'll read about verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Uh-oh. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. So here's the thing. The first thing we have to understand, adversity comes against us. One of the reasons it comes against us is because what? We are children of God. Because we belong to Jesus. The enemy doesn't like it. How many know you got an enemy? Boy, you better know that. You better know that. Because if you don't know you got an enemy and you're just kind of going through life as a Christian half asleep, I'm telling you what, he's going to clean your clock. You know what I mean by that expression? He's going to blindside you. He's going to get you. And here's the thing we have to understand. Peter said here, don't think it's strange. Don't think that you're strange or anything's wrong, something wrong with me. I mean, you know, that's what it is. No, he said in another place in the same book, in the first chapter, he said the trying of your faith, what, will be more precious than gold. The trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. So we need to understand the first thing is when adversity, when problems, when life hits us, smack in the face. The first thing we need to realize is, okay, hey, doesn't mean I've missed it. Doesn't mean my faith is inferior. Doesn't mean something's wrong with me. You know what this means? This just means I'm a child of God, and the same thing that Christians throughout the centuries have faced, that is adversity and attacks from the enemy. I'm just experienced the same thing they experienced. Amen? Because if you don't, then, what happens is if you think, you know, something's wrong with you, then immediately you start out from a defeated point of view. I mean, if you think something's wrong with you, if you're the cause of this thing coming on you, then how much hope you got that you're going to be able to do anything about it? It's kind of self-defeating, isn't it? Which is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to keep you in that negative, doubtful, fearful, defeated, you know, guilt-ridden condemnation mode. You're just no good. You can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And if he can't get you that way, usually he'll swing it around the other way. They'll want to get you to blame God. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, I've seen a lot of bitter Christians. There's nothing any more sad than a bitter Christian. You run into a bitter Christian, you know, they're bitter. Life's been tough. Life's handed them a hard time. And they blame God. And they're bitter. They're mad at God. They think God did it. And they're bitter about it. And they complain. And they whine. And they think, oh, I don't know. Why has this happened to me? You know, I've tried to serve God. I've tried to do the right thing. I don't understand why God let this happen to me. Well, listen, honey, I got news for you. It's happening to all of us. It's happening to all of us. The test and trials of life, they come against all of us. But it's what we do in the midst of the test and trial that makes the difference. You know, a battle can either bring glory or it can bring something gory. Isn't that true? Glory to the victor, but, you know, gory to the one that's defeated. You say, oh, I don't like that, Pastor. Listen, it's the truth. There's always a victor and a victim. In every battle. And the enemy wants you to be sure to be the victim. That's what he's after. So he brings the test and trials against you. He wants to what? To overthrow your faith, overthrow your confidence, overthrow your testimony in God. Because here's the thing. If he can defeat you, then what's everybody else going to think? Well, my goodness, if the Christians can't make it, what are the rest of us going to do? Amen. You know, there's people watching you. Oh, yeah, they won't ever tell you for the most part, but they're watching you. They're waiting to see if this gospel, this Bible, these promises, this God that you say is alive and real and powerful. You know, is he bigger than the circumstance of life? Is he bigger than when tragedy hits you? I remember back in 1993, we'd just gotten off the mission field. Cindy and I, we were starting over. And the big girl there was a little girl then. All our kids were real little. We were just starting over. We didn't have anything. We had each other, didn't we? That's about it. But we had God. And I remember we just went through a string of one thing after another went wrong. Man, I'm telling you what. Cindy got diagnosed with cancer. That wasn't supposed to happen. We didn't have that planned at all. Amen. Nobody in her family had it. She wasn't supposed to be having cancer. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, God, remember us missionaries? Yeah. Remember us? We gave everything away. Now we don't have anything. We went on the mission field. Remember us? You know, that stuff won't work. Hello? You can't do. You got to move beyond that because you get into this self-pity mode. And I remember, if that wasn't enough, man, I mean, here I am, I'm coming back, I'm working a job, you know, I'm coming back, just minding my own business, you know, and pow, somebody hits me, knocks my car completely upside down on the roof, spins it around, totals out my car. So now, we don't have a car. We don't have any medical insurance, and now she's diagnosed with cancer. Oh, God, why is this happening to me? I'm trying to serve you. I did the best I could. God, I don't understand. No, we didn't do that. Listen, your old flesh will want to do that. Your flesh ever want to feel sorry for itself? Oh, golly, yeah. Oh, you know. But here's the thing. Notice what Peter said here. He gave us a good piece of advice here. He said, when tests and trials come your way, what did he say do? Rejoice. Because Cindy and I found this out through experience in life. If you don't rejoice, you're going to start complaining. You're going to do one of the two. I guarantee you. You're going to whine and complain if you don't rejoice. So the first thing we got to do, and notice the writer in Habakkuk said the same thing. He said, I'm going to rejoice. So what is, after you understand that there's nothing weird or strange about me, God's not picking on me, you know. You know, I am just experiencing the same thing that all believers have throughout the centuries. That is that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where things happen because there is a devil. There is an enemy. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. I understand that. Then the second thing I've got to understand is I've got to understand, what am I going to do in the midst of it? Am I going to whine and complain, or am I going to rejoice? And this goes back to our focus. The first thing that's important, after you recognize nothing strange about you, the next thing that's important is you got to have a right focus. I'm telling you, when problems come at you, when circumstance come at you, I'm telling you, it's so tempting to get caught up in the problems, to get caught up in what's happening in my life, to get caught up in the whirlwind and stuff. You ever seen either a water spout or seen a tornado either on TV or whatever? You know, in the midst of that thing turning around is all kinds of what? Debris and stuff, isn't it? And you know, it's not the wind that will kill you in a tornado. It's all that stuff it's slinging around, isn't it? The cars it picks up, the trees it picks up, all this loose stuff. It's slinging it around, isn't that right? And you know, here's the thing. If we get our focus on our circumstance, our problems, it's like we feel like we're in the middle of this tornado and stuff is slapping us and hitting us and coming at us from every side. And we get focused on that thing. And the more we focus on it, the bigger it gets, the darker the night gets, the more insolvable it seems the problem is. Oh, it just gets to be to the point to where it seems like we have no hope. But here's the thing, if you focus yourself on something different, if you can focus yourself like the prophet there, Habakkuk, he said, I'm going to rejoice in God. And so when we rejoice, you know what it does? It causes our focus to realign. We go from focusing just on the problem to beginning to focus on the solution. I get my focus on God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me read a scripture there to you. You can turn over there if you want to. 2 Corinthians 4. Notice what it says here. Verse 16. It says, though we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Now, is that the way you see your problems when they come? See, what? Our focus is wrong, isn't it? We're looking at, the problem wants to tell you, this is it, buddy. Man, I know you've made it to this point, boy. You've been, quote unquote, lucky to make it so far. But, buddy, this one's going to get you. This is the big knockout punch. This is the one that's going to get you. And what we have to do is just like Paul, how could he say this? Here was a man that was stoned, that was beaten, that was shipwrecked, that was jailed. I mean, all kind of things happened to him. He says, our light and momentary affliction. Boy, he must have been, he must either been on something or he knew God. He knew God. Amen. He knew God. He says, he said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. As we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Now notice, our focus has everything to do with it. The more you focus on your problem and your circumstance, the bigger it is, the harder it is, the worse it seems, the darker the night seems, the more improbable it seems that I'm going to be able to get out of this thing. I mean, pretty soon it seems like it's so big, and the next thing, it's all I can think about, it's all I can talk about, I can't sleep at night, it's everywhere. He said, you got to back up and realign your focus. Realign your focus. What are you looking to? This is what's important. He said, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In other words, our focus has to be upon what? It has to be upon God and God's Word. Here's the thing. When life happens to you, when problems happen, when the test and the trial comes, when things hit you, you've got to find out, what does God say about it? What did God say about it? I'm telling you, when that stuff hit us, your first reaction, when problems come, especially sudden, ever had a sudden problem? You went to bed and everything was great and you got up the next day and voila, stuff had happened. You didn't do anything. You were just sleeping. But stuff happened. Isn't that right? Your first reaction will always be either a mental or a flesh thing. You go, why did this, and that's when you got to catch yourself, don't you? Yeah. And Cindy and I, what we did after a while, so many things happened in a row, we started laughing about it. You say, you guys are really weird. I know it. Speaking for myself. But here's the thing. We got laughing about it because you know what? We knew something. We knew something. When the enemy, when he starts hitting, things start coming at you like that, you know, hitting you this side, hitting you that side, hitting you the other side. Cindy and I found out over the years, we know something's up and something good. Something good's on the way. God's got something good. God's got something good. Oh, man, God's got something good in store. Hallelujah. Man, we went through that thing with the cancer. We didn't have any medical insurance. How many of you know that costs money? Money, honey, and lots of it. You know, God provided everything we had we needed for that. Tens of tens of tens of tens of thousands of dollars. God provided for us. God took care of us. Here's the thing, but you know what? We shifted our focus. We're just like you. We were tempted to look at that thing, but we got to laughing. We got to rejoicing. We got to looking in what God said. Glory to God. By His stripes, we are healed. Amen. With long life, I'll satisfy you and show you your salvation. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm telling you what. You know, when we'd get up, man, some days you think we felt like rejoicing. Not. Oh, Lord. Especially Cindy, she'd get up, man, going through a chemo treatment, getting dressed, going to work. Hello. See, sometimes y'all think, oh, the preacher, he don't know what we're going through. I got news for you. We know. Hey, man, we're just like you. We put our britches on just like you do. It's the same thing. But you know what? We kept our focus on God. We didn't look at what we could see. Oh, it was there. There was no avoiding it, but we chose to focus on God, to focus on the promise and the power of God. And I'm telling you, must have worked because here we are. Amen. 15 years later, we're still here. You're still here, aren't you, honey? Glory to God. A clean bill of health. So focus. Here's the thing. Because here's the thing. And I can always tell with me where my focus is because there's a little barometer God's put within us called attitude. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, man. You get around, you ever been around somebody with a stinking attitude? Excuse me for cussing in church. But it wasn't just stinking, isn't it? Just a stinking attitude. They complain and they gripe and they whine and they... You know how it goes. You know what? All that is letting us know where your focus is. You know? Your glass, we know already your glass is always half empty. Amen. Your gas tank's always half empty. Amen. You know, everything is negative with you. You focus on life, on the negatives of life, on the problems of life. You focus there and focus there and focus there, and it has warped your attitude. And when we, you know, your attitude is going to be expressed. Isn't that true? It's going to come out in the way you conduct yourself and the way you speak, especially, isn't it? And see, that old attitude gets to going and that attitude gets to going. And we know that's a big problem. When we have an attitude like that, it lets us know what? All right, wait a minute here. My focus is wrong. You know, every once in a while, Cindy has to straighten me out. Y'all didn't know that, did you? You know, you start getting a little bit of attitude. She said, okay, buddy. You better straighten up. Thank God for a good wife. Isn't that right? Can you men say amen? Okay, some of you do. Okay. Because and you know, your attitude, it may not be that. It may just be a fearful attitude. You know? Or a worried, filled attitude. But what does it say? It says, what? I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I'm focusing on the problem rather than on the solution. So here's the thing. The Bible says that we are, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by what? Sometimes we twist that around, don't we? We walk by sight and not by faith. But here, the Bible says about faith, it says faith is the evidence of things what? The things not seen or things hoped for. Things not seen. In other words, you can see the circumstance. You can see the problem, can't you? But here's the thing. You can't always see where God's at work. This is why you got to have some evidence. Amen. You got to go to this book and get some evidence. Because God said it, I believe it. That settles it for me. I have the evidence I need. That is the faithfulness of God. That is God's promise in God's word, which was spoken to me in this book. Let's turn over there and read that scripture. We hadn't read that in a while. Hebrews 11:1. I know. You know, and remember what I said. Guard your heart on scriptures that have become very familiar with you. Because once they become familiar to you, if you're not careful, you know, your mind will just kind of tune out. Well, I know that. I mean, you know, there's nobody in here that knows everything that's in Hebrews 11:1 yet. No matter how many times you've read it, heard it taught, there's still something new in there we can all learn. Isn't that true? Notice he said, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Boy, I like that, don't you? It's being sure of what we hope for. What are you hoping for? Well, whatever the circumstance is, I find the promise of God. If I'm sick, that's simple. I won't be well. Isn't that right? If I'm in lack, that's simple. I want, you know, I need some money. How many know God will give you some money? I know we're sometimes we get real religious. You know, oh, God's not interested in that. Well, it's funny. Jesus talked more about money than it did about heaven and hell. For somebody that's not interested in that, I don't know why he did that. Did you know that? He talked more about money than he did heaven and hell. And I mean, you know, heaven and hell is important to know about. Hallelujah. Important to know how to gain heaven and how to avoid hell. That's pretty important, isn't it? So we go there and we understand faith. What? Faith is what I use to focus in on the promise, on the solution. Even though I can't see it, pardon me, even though I can't see it yet, even though I can't hold it in my hand yet, what? I am confident because of faith in God's word. I focus on that. I become what? Confident that what? That even though I can't see it, God has already provided it for me. Now that takes what? Faith, doesn't it? And here's the thing. I can choose to believe and I can choose what? To doubt. You know, I've had people over the years tell me, well, Pastor, I can't help it. I can't help but doubt. Well, then either you or God's lying. Okay? I'll let you pick which one you're going to go with. But here's the thing. Because God said down in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if you can't help but doubt, then you're not going to be able to please God. So, you know, you got a problem. And if you can't help but doubt, and God says you got to have faith to please me, but yet you say you can't believe God, then somebody is missing it. And I think maybe it may be us with our understanding. And so we need to understand this. How many of you know, we know this, this is ABC, I know, but let's say it anyway. How does faith come? By hearing God's word. That means if I'm not hearing God's word regularly, that means more than Sunday, regularly, what? My faith is going to be weak. So why are you saying, oh, I can't help but doubt? It's because what? Faith is so weak. It's not that you don't have any. If you're a Christian, you got faith. Problem is you're not exercising it. You're not developing it. You're not feeding it on the word of God. So if you don't feed it, it's weak. If it's weak, then guess what? Whatever's strongest is going to win out. And if your doubt is stronger than your faith, your doubt's going to win out every time. So here's the thing. We need to get in the word of God. If you're having trouble believing God, the cure is not to pray more. The cure is to get into the word of God. Every day, feed on it. Feed on it. Amen? Because that's the way we live and we walk. So notice he said, attitude reveals our focus. He said, so tests and trials come to everybody. When the problems of life hit us, what do? We get our focus, what? On God's word. We focus on the word of God. We focus on the power of God. And then what do we got to do? We got to get control over this thing right here, this cut below our nose. We got to get control over this thing. Why? Because you talk to most people. And I'm telling you what, if you're around people long enough, you can tell exactly where they're at in their walk with God. Isn't that true? You know, they'll talk about their pains, their ailments, their problems, you know, the in-laws, the outlaws, and everybody else, and what all's wrong, and how life's treated them wrong, and, you know, and they've just been dealt a sour deal, and, you know, nobody's had it as bad as I have, and, oh, man, and I don't know why God did all this to me. I mean, all kinds of junk, you know. Or it may just be something, you know, maybe sincere doubting Christians. You ever ran into a sincere doubter, doubting Christian? They're very sincere. I mean, they love God. There's no question about it. But, you know, they're full of unbelief. They're full of doubt. And they're, you know, they're talking, you know. And you say, well, praise God. God said so-and-so. And God said so-and-so. And let me share you this. God said this. Now, let's God. There's God's promises. Let's pray and believe it. And you pray with them and say, okay, praise God. Is it settled? I don't know. Yeah, or the goat Christian. Yeah, but. I tell them all the time, sheep don't butt, goats butt. Isn't that right? Sheep don't butt. Sheep just go, bah. Goats butt. And you know where the goats end up. See, don't be a goat. Be quick to believe God. And here's the thing. If you see that's a problem with you, you know what that means? That means you need to get in the Word of God and you need to meditate in it. Read it. Meditate. Think about it. Ponder over it. I mean, you know, you need to go to, you know, to Faith ICU. Intensive care unit for faith. Amen. I remember, I told you about this, but I'll share it again. You know, when I first got saved especially, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about the Bible or anything like that. And I knew I needed help. Actually, it was worse than that. As they say in the South, I needed help. H-E-P. That's worse than help. I mean, when you need help, boy, I'm telling you. But I needed help, and I knew it. And so what I did is I'd take the Word of God, and I'd write it down on index cards. You know, it didn't have all the electronic stuff in those days. So I just wrote it down on some index cards. That's some old technology, isn't it? But you know what? It worked. Because I'd take that thing out at work or wherever when I had a break or something like that. Man, and I'd read those scriptures and read those scriptures and read those scriptures and read those scriptures. And man, I'd read them and read them. I never memorized them, but I read them so much I eventually did. But I wasn't trying to. I was just trying to feed my spirit. I was trying to get them on the inside of me. Because I knew if anybody needed it, I needed it. I needed it. I needed to get. What'd you say? She said, yes, you did. I don't need any help. Yes, I do. That's okay. And so we have to feed on it and feed on it and feed on it and get it down in us. And you know, we mature in the Lord and we become older Christians, I mean older in the Lord, you know, what we've got to do is we've got to be careful that we don't coast. You know what I mean by coasting? In other words, we do what I'm talking about. We do the things and we begin to get some breakthrough and we begin to get some victory in some areas and we begin to prosper some and we begin to see some of it. And the next thing you know, man, oh man, we're taking our foot off the gas and, you know, and we're just coasting. But eventually, what will happen if you coast long enough, won't you? You slow down. And if you slow down long enough, then you'll what? Stop. And when you stop, you're in trouble, aren't you? You have to keep going forward. So here's the thing. I would refocus back. What does God's Word say? What does God's promise say? What has He said to me? And then, you know, it will be easier to put a watch over this thing called our mouth. Amen. Did you know what you say is important? It is. Yeah. If it's not, then I don't know why we have all. You know, most wars are started over words. Most fights are started over words. In your house, I know that's right, ain't it? Isn't that right? It's usually words, isn't it? It's, oh, I don't take any stock in all that word, talking about what you say and all. Well, I'm glad I don't live with you. Isn't that right? Sure it is. And we have to understand that God's Word is very special because what? It's filled with faith. It's filled with faith. And the words that you speak, okay, you know what they do? They release what's on the inside of you. It might be doubt, might be fear, might be worry, might be anger. Might be rejection. Could be all kinds of things. But here's the thing. We put God's word in us, and what does it do? It begins to what? Faith begins to rise up. Yeah. And so then we begin to what? Speak words of faith out of our mouth. How many of you like to be around somebody positive? Somebody that's speaking faith. Somebody that's speaking good things. Amen? To you and around you. And isn't that true? Well, here's the thing. The reason we like that is because what? There is a power in it called faith. And Jesus said this thing called faith is so powerful that it can remove mountains. It can cause trees to be plucked up. It can calm the wind and the waves of the Sea of Galilee. It can open blind eyes. It can heal, cure sick bodies. It can bring finances to people that need it. Boy, this thing, faith, that sounds pretty good to me. And on top of all that, it says, without it, you can't please God. You know, in the world, you hear this saying a lot, seeing is believing. You ever heard that? I grew up hearing that all my life. Seeing is believing. But you know what? Seeing is not believing. Seeing is knowing. Isn't that right? I mean, I don't have to believe that you all are out there. I can see you. Isn't that right? So seeing is not believing. That's a false statement. No, he said that faith, what, is the evidence of what? Not seen. Faith is the only way to know about the unseen. That's why people that live in their head, that live in their intellect only, have a hard time with something like Christianity. They have a hard time with the stuff we're talking about today. They think that's all foolish, that we're all foolish, that we're mentally challenged, that, you know, bless your heart, you know, where are you going? You know, have you ever seen God? You ever seen Jesus? You ever seen that? And then if we say we have, boy, they're really ready to commit us. I mean, on the one hand, they want proof that we've seen it. Then when we say we have, they're ready to commit us. Oh, I saw an angel. Boy, that watch him. Isn't that true? You know, it's like Fulton Steamboat. You know, I've told you that story before about the guy that first applied steam to a boat, Fulton. And you know, and all the naysayers were gathered around the day they were going to test it. And they said, it'll never work. It'll never work. It will never work. You can't do that. It'll never work. And man, they took off, and man, it was working, doing fine. Those same people said, he'll never be able to stop it. They'll never be able to stop that. And that's the way some people are, you know, when it comes to faith. Well, I don't put any stock in that faith, you know, anything. Then somebody stands up and gives a testimony that God did this, God healed me, God did this, God. Oh, well, that ain't nothing to that. So, you know, it doesn't matter either way. So here's the thing. Let's focus in on God. Let's get our faith connected to God and to God's promise. And when problems come, when adversity comes, listen, you go through them enough and come out on the other side, and you come out victorious, and you come out, you know, smelling like a rose, as the world says. You come out and you're still standing, and you know, and everybody else is going, eventually people are going to say, that's either something to what he's saying, or that's the luckiest person I ever seen. You know what I mean? I'm speaking as the world speaks. But they're going to see something. What's going on? I mean, the same problems hit them, they hit us. But yet, they always seem to come through. Man, they're smiling. They're happy. They always seem to come through it. And, you know, with us, we gripe and complain and fuss. And maybe sometimes we can come through it. But, you know, we can be a living testimony to people. That when adversity comes, see, we're not trying to go run, you know, bury our head in the sand as Christians and say, okay, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. You know, I've told you that humorous story about, you know, the Christian scientist. You know, in the Christian scientist religion, you know, they think that sickness and disease and all these problems and stuff, it's all in your mind. You know, so the lady came to, you know, to the church, Christian scientist church one day, and, you know, and pastor, minister, whatever they call themselves there, said, well, how's your dad? Does he still think he's sick? She said, no, we buried him. Now he thinks he's dead. So we're not talking about, you know, we're just sticking our head in the sand and pretending that, nothing's wrong. No, there's no, you know, that's not Christianity. But here's the thing. What I am saying is, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trials that come in his life, we recognize this. There's somebody in my boat. There's somebody in my boat. His name is Jesus. There's somebody that's traveling through this life with me. And he has given me great and wonderful promises that he will be with me. He will deliver me through it. He will deliver me out of it. When I come on the other side, I'm going to be like the Hebrew children. I'm going to come out of the furnace and the fire, and there ain't going to be the smell of smoke on me. Glory to God. You know what the smell of smoke is when people come through a trial? They get bitter. They get bitter. Oh, yeah, they came through the test and the trial, but they're mad. They're mad. They're bitter. They're mad at God. They're bitter with people. They're mad at, they're blaming people for the problem. You know, it might be their employer. It might be their spouse. It might be their in-law or their outlaw. What is the smell of smoke? It's that when there's that bitterness on you. Yeah, I made it through. Oh, man. Oh, I think I aged 20 years. That's not the way God wants to bring us through. And that's not God's promise for you. So here again, what are we going to do? Let me review real quickly before we close. Adversity is going to come. Don't think it's strange. Okay? Immediately, what do we need to do? When it comes, we need to what? Shift our focus. Because initially, your focus is going to be on the problem. We're not saying, oh, we don't have a problem. No, the problem's real. But here's the thing. Our focus is on the solution. Isn't that right? Not on the problem. Our focus is on the solution. We get into God's Word. We find out what did God say. And then we put a guard over our lips, our mouth. And one of the best ways to do this is to become somebody who worships and rejoices. Amen. Because if you don't, you'll gripe and complain. And I'm going to tell you what, you will come through, maybe you'll come through, but you'll have the smell of smoke on you. We'll get around you and you'll be like, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know why this had to happen to me. Oh, me. And there are a lot of people, too, that the smell of smoke's on people. They're just, all they can think about and talk about is the next problem. You know what I'm talking about? They've come through this. Yeah, God brought me through this one. But, I know the next one's just around the corner. It's coming. Oh, they can't hardly sleep at night. And they won't rest till it comes. Isn't that true? And so here's the thing. Adversity is going to come. It's going to face you. Maybe you're facing it today. This many people in a room, somebody is. Probably a number of people. But here's the thing. It's not the adversity. It's not the problems that defeat you. It's what you do in them. It's what you do in the midst of them. And here's the thing today. If you're facing adversity, I want to encourage you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your faith. But here's the thing. Where is your focus? I want to ask you, where is your focus? Is your focus just on the problem? Is it just on the circumstance? Is it just on feeling sorry for yourself? Have you let that old stinking attitude that we all have had to deal with at times, has that thing cropped up and popped up? And you're carrying that thing around everywhere you go. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. Oh, you might hide it from a few of us, but somebody's going to know. Most of you live with somebody or around somebody, aren't you? They're going to know. So this morning, here's what I want to do as part of our altar call. As I want you, if you're facing some adversity, I want you to, if you would, just where you are, to just stand up. I want to pray with you. If you're facing an adversity, nobody in here. Can't believe it. Something, whatever it is, a trial, a circumstance, a problem, an adversity, something that is wrong that ought to be right. Isn't that right? You're facing it. Glory to God. Good. Not good that you're in it, but I'm good that you stood. Because God's going to help you. Isn't that right? Well, he said count it all joy. James did. Amen. He didn't count it all pain. He said count it all joy. So here's the thing. Maybe you don't need to, but if you need to, we're going to shift our focus this morning. I want you to think about what you're facing. And now I want you to think about a promise from God, God's Word. What does God's Word say about your situation? Okay? You get that word firmly there. We're going to focus on it right now. We're going to focus on it. Now I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to focus on what God's word has said. And you speak that word to your circumstance, to your problem. As I'm praying, you speak to your mountain. You speak to that thing, and you speak to it the word of God. And I'm going to pray, and I want to tell you what. We're going to see this thing settled. When you leave the building today, it's going to be settled. The problem, it may not instantly go away, but listen, as far as you're concerned, it's settled. You got God's word on it, it's settled. Isn't that right? It's settled. It's not going to be. It's settled today. If you've got God's word, then you've got it settled. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, and as I pray, they're speaking the word over their situation, Lord. We speak to adversities. We speak your word over these adversities and problems. We speak the name of Jesus, Lord. You said we could say to the mountain, be removed, and it would be removed. We speak to those circumstances and that are facing us, and in the name of Jesus, we declare your promise over it. We speak to the mountain. We declare, Lord, if it's finances, I thank you, Lord, you're Jehovah Jireh. You will provide whatever we need. If it's healing, you're Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord God that healeth us. Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes, healing belongs to us. I thank you, O God, that whatever it is, if it's relationship problems, Lord, forgiveness will flow. Whatever the problem is, whatever the adversity is, we speak the word of God over it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, is it settled? Is it settled? Amen. 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 You can be seated for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to do something for missions here in just a minute, but before we do that, would you bow your heads just one more time? With every service, I like to always give people an opportunity. If you're here this morning, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins. You say, I didn't even know I needed to be forgiven of sins. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since all of us have come short of the glory of God and none of us can save ourselves, God sent his only Son, Jesus, to be a Savior. And the Bible says that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. He went to a cross at a place called Calvary. And on Calvary, he took your sin and my sin. He paid the price for it. And the Bible says whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus and put their faith in him will be saved. This morning, if you've never done that, but you say, I want to, Pastor, I want to pray and receive and ask Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart. Anywhere in the building, I want to pray for you. If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Anybody in the building? Okay. Father, you see this hand. And Lord, I pray, oh God, for my brother, that he has a no-so salvation. He has a no-so. Lord, it's not by feeling. Father, it's not because our feelings are a certain way, but it's by faith in you. It's by faith in your word. You said, if we call, you'll save. He's called, he's saved. And Lord, I declare in Jesus' name, there'll not be another doubt in Jesus' name. You can put your hand down, brother. Just before we dismiss you, I've got a little something. Today, first Sunday of the month, is Mission Sunday. This is just going to be, what, a couple of minutes long? Something like that. Just want to highlight one of the missionaries, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to receive a special missions offering. You know, the Bible says this, says that as believers, we are responsible under God for the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach this gospel to every nation. And either we're goers or we're senders. Amen?